world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, hang on there a second. Just getting ready to send something off. I want to show y'all here. Morning, good morning, good morning. Back in the saddle again. Back in the saddle again. Got in late last night from, where were we? Mayfield, Kentucky. I got to keep thinking of Baker Mayfield, quarterback for the Browns. Mayfield, Kentucky. And off there. Oh, hang on, folks. Look, if something went wrong there. No, I don't want that there. I know what that is. Just a little bit of a debriefing here real quick. I got a couple guys who want to jump in here. Larry's got to take off and go someplace. And got Tom Haviland going to jump in here with us as well. And just a lot, man. A lot percolating. Gary Pierce and I were driving home yesterday, and we were in just south of Cincinnati. It was 68 degrees last night. And in a matter of about 20 miles, it was 41. 68 to 21 degrees. Rain, and it's crazy. World's on fire. Culture's disintegrating. Hey, mass assault. It's crazy, crazy time to be alive. Thanks for being here with us. And got home last night, got a great night's sleep. Spencer, throw it up there real quick so I don't get in too much trouble. Throw that picture of little Scarlet Rose up there. I haven't had a chance to see that baby yet. Looks like little Dobby to me. That's my wife, my pretty wife holding her. And Scarlet Rose, I weighed in at about 6 pounds and 4 ounces. She looks like her daddy, Zach. And then, of course, our other daughter, Abby's getting ready to she may have a baby today. She may have one tomorrow. So Scripture says, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Dobenmeyers are doing the best they can. Want to get an idea how small that little baby is? Look at Michelle's hand. Michelle doesn't have a big hand. Her hand's almost the size of that little sweet little thing. So Michelle yelled at me, corrected me, 5 pounds, 8 ounces. 5 pounds, 8 ounces. Fully developed. Not a preemie, maybe 4 days early, but I mean, wow, huh? Wow, a lot of crazy stuff going on. I want to real quickly before I get Larry in here. It's kind of an informational show today. A lot of stuff we want to pick up on before I get Larry in here and before I get Tom in here. I want to give a. If I had a varsity letter, if I had a medal, maybe I ought to get some medals. I want to give Bobby Lee a medal for organizing our trip to Mayfield, Kentucky. And Bobby and the crew, they're getting ready to – Gary and I drove home yesterday afternoon. Bobby and the rest of the crew, they're getting ready to break camp today. And as we know this, as these type of disasters, the farther you get away from them, the more difficult they become in being able to help. Initially, you can go down there, you can cut up trees, you can move brush, you can do all that kind of stuff. But it's been, the 10th to the 28th? It's been 18 days since that tornado hit down there. And, you know, a lot of people have been down there volunteering and working, and some of the groups are pulling out. You know, they've been there for two and a half weeks. And so now it gets down to the individual, individual homeowner. What do you do? And as I tried to explain yesterday, you can't explain it. Spencer, did I send you some pictures there? I'm sorry. I'm kind of, I thought I did. I thought I sent you some this morning. It doesn't matter. And basically, we did two things when we were down there. Number one, we went to this small church, and I think I told you yesterday, Sheila, the matriarch of the church, her husband had died in February, and they'd been having interim pastors, and the storm came, and it just demolished it. And so we cleaned up that whole church. Took us day and a half basically down there to pull out the pews and throw them on the trash pile. Trash piles are like, you can't believe them. They're everywhere. And then we ran into this other old guy, 81 years old, 81 years old. And some of our guys worked there for a day and a half there as well. And he's 81 years old and excited about rebuilding his house that was just obliterated, along with his business and his garage and his tools. And, you know, the human spirit at times can be indomitable. It really, really can. And, you know, I pulled up today's scriptures from Romans chapter 5. I think I just sent that to you, Spence. Maybe you can get that up for you. And I'll get some pictures as we move on here. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what, Jeff, now? Most people that I come in contact with do not have peace with God. They don't have peace with God. Really don't. And that's a conditional response you see right there in Romans chapter 5. If you're justified by faith, you have peace with God. Peace with God. Don't you want to have peace with God? Huh? Don't you want to live in a world where you know God isn't against you? You got peace with him. And that happens through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope. You rejoice in hope. See, I rejoice in hope. I check the news. I did my show prep here this morning, and I see so much unbelievable tyranny go on, yet I rejoice in hope. I just know at some point, somehow, some way, the devil's going to fumble the football. That somehow, some way, the kicker's going to pull the kick to the left. The devil is not going to win. And we have got to continue to persist in what it is that he's called each and every one of us to do. In fact, this is the time for the real men of God to step up. This is the time to push the others to the back of the road and say, okay, hey, all right, dude. You've been doing a good job. Step out. The boys are back in town. We are approaching that point in America like I have never seen. Verse 3. And not only do we glory in God, not only that, but we glory in tribulations. We will never shine more than we're in the midst of tribulation. When the world looks around you in the midst of tribulation and say, how do you do that? How do you maintain your faith? How do you maintain your strength? How do you continue to move forward? How can you be 81 years old and see everything that you had blown up and be out there riding around on a little Kubota tractor getting ready to rebuild at 81 years old? And we ask him, I said, what keeps you going? He says, well, I've been around long enough to know that if I just sit down in my chair, start feeling sorry for myself about how bad things are. He said, I'll be toes up in a matter of months. He said, I don't want to be toes up. I said, man, is that ever it? And we glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and that patience brings us experience, and that experience brings us hope. Why? And hope doesn't make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If you have hope, Paul said, if we have hope in this world only, we are all men most miserable. And that's what I think is, as I was down there for those 3 days, I think that's what I carry away most, the hope. If we are without hope, Paul said, we're of all men most miserable. If we have hope in this world only, we are of all men most miserable. I'm not miserable today. I'm hopeful. I'm waiting for that fumble, for somebody to strip the ball out of the devil's hands. He can't continue to run and cut back against the grain, not get his head knocked off. Can't happen. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to thank, I'm going to, you know, all the 20 people that showed up. Mike and Paula Heath came all the way from Maine. Mark Trump came in. Mark is a working fool the way he showed up, and Gary came all the way. Gary Donahoe came all the way in from Pennsylvania, and Gary, get my brain working here, Gary. Gary and his buddy Woody came all the way in from Syracuse, New York. We got to see OJ. Emma and her husband came in from right here in Ohio. Linda, I'm just going from off the top of my head. Craig came in. Gary Pierce was with me. I'm forgetting him. I'm doing off the top of my head. Jim came in from Kentucky, brought a friend with him. About 20 of us. And Gary Pierce said to me on the way home, I feel bad. I know I've left names out. I'm sorry. Gary Pierce said to me on the way home how magnificent this fellowship was. And I just want to keep encouraging all of you that there was a reason why the Lord told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And even though we're out there hauling trash and picking up boards and paper and insulation and doing all that, there was a fellowship of the beloved, a fellowship of the brotherhood. It is very, very real. It's very, very real. And I can't encourage you enough that at the times that we're coming into, folks, you're not gonna live isolated and make it. You're just not gonna do it. Not gonna be able to do it. And I don't know about you, I don't have hope in this world only. I don't. I have hope beyond this world. And if we do have hope beyond this world, I was talking to Gary coming home. Gary and I got in a, just give me a second here. Gary and I got in a weird discussion about burial. Burial. Where are you going to be buried? Are you going to waste a bunch of money on a funeral? And that led into talking about being cremated and do you organize your own funeral? And then it kind of slid into talking even about death. I compared the birth of little Scarlet Rose. What a violent experience that must have been for that little baby to be birthed into this world. Can you imagine? You guys imagine what that was? We all went through it. We don't remember it, but that was probably, wow. Came out of total darkness and down that birth canal and pop out and there's light and sound. And oh, wow. What an experience that must have been. Folks, what if that's what death is as well? Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where's your victory, right? Why are we so afraid to die? Well, we're afraid to die because we cling to these things that everybody in Mayfield, Kentucky wants you to haul out and throw in the burn pile. Clinging to all this stuff that is just perishes. It just is nothing but your whole life is tied up. And I kept saying the same refrain every time I'd pick up something off piles and piles and piles and piles of trash. Every time I pick something up, I said, you know, somebody paid money for this. Somebody paid money for this. And all it was now is just a piece of junk. It's just a piece of junk. Somebody paid money for it sometime. And not only what did they pay money for it, they may have ordered it over the internet, waited for it to come, waited for the package. You couldn't wait for the package to get there and open it up. And now it's just laying on a dung pile, just part of a dung pile. And everywhere you look, it was dung piles. And to realize how easy it is for us to lose perspective on the things that are really, really important in life, the things that really, really matter in life. What if, according to Ecclesiastes 7, what if really God wasn't lying and the day of your death is far more glorious than the day of your birth? That's what it says, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. Pull it up there, Spencer, so they don't think I'm lying. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? A good name's better than fine perfume. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. Wow. That's deep stuff, you know. That's really, really, really deep stuff. And as I said, it just continued to be the refrain in my head as I was walking around. All that stuff that everybody invested all their lives into, they just wanted it out of their house. They just wanted it moved. They just wanted it thrown on the dung pile. How many things in your life are going to end up on the dung pile? Your kids are going to come by, you're going to die, your kids are going to come by, and they're going to get rid of all the crap that you have. All that sentimental stuff that you're holding on to.
Amen.
They're going to get rid of it. And here we sit right now. I'm sitting here in my studio, my multi-million dollar studio, and I'm looking around here. If a tornado hits here, boy, there's going to be some guys carrying some junk out of here for a while. Why do we accumulate this stuff? What is it about? And we neglect and forget about the things that really, really matter in life. So that's my spiel for the day. And I thank everybody who came down there and all of you that sent us money to support it. And it was every time I go to one of these things, I see something I've never seen before. And I know with Mark Trump yesterday, we were talking about the fact that this wasn't a tornado. I mean, it was a tornado, but it wasn't a tornado. I mean, I never seen anything like what happened in that downtown. Never seen anything like it. So we're going to see more and more things, I think, to us that are going to be impossible for us to believe. Clay was there. Clay, I see you up there. How can I forget Clay? Clay was there. We're going to see more and more things, friends, that are going to be almost impossible for our eyes to believe. I really believe that. And so we have to be, what? We have to have hope. And if we have hope in this world only, we're most men, all men, most miserable. And the clamping down of the vaccines and the flu and all that stuff that's going on, it's not going to get crazy. Listen, Larry's got to get out of here real quick. I promised Larry I'd bring him in here at the top of the show. Larry, because folks, don't forget January 6th. We're going to talk about that probably tomorrow. Talk a little more about Celebrate Freedom Day. Ohio Brett's really working hard behind the scenes, getting that thing up and running. But Larry had a great suggestion. So Larry, go ahead and lay that.
Okay. You know, a lot of us are going to be holding poster boards beside the highway or hanging them over the overpass or something like that. What really happened January 6th, 2021? What I've done is I've made some, each letter is an individual word file that you can print off, and it doesn't come colored in. It's just an outline. So it doesn't use much ink on your printer. It doesn't use much ink on your printer. You just go to Walmart, buy a $1 little bottle of poster board paint, and you fill them in. One bottle will do all 14 of these pages. But the first four together will say the word what. The next three pages will say the word really. And then happened on the 3rd and January 6th, 2021 on the 4th. And on the 5th page, you make your own question mark and color it in. And that's your, you know, that's yours. But I have these 14 files that you can print off, just 14 pieces of paper, just the outlines of the letters. You can paint them in, tape them together. They're all lined up so that when you tape the edges of the paper together, the letters are lined up. Just send me your email, and I will send you these files of these 14 pages, and you can make your own posters for January the 6th. Thank you much.
Thank you, Larry. What really happened, folks? That's the theme. Those are the questions that we need to begin placing those thoughts in the minds of the people we come in contact with. And it wasn't what really happened on January 6th, although that's really important. But just ask that question. What really happened? And people say, well, what do you mean? You can take that any direction that you want. What really happened to the church? What really happened to our educational system? What really happened to morality? What really happened to our food supply? What really happened to medicine? What really happened to science? And the more we ask that question, we're going to be able to expose all around us the difference between the truth and a lie. That's what we have. That's where we are. And that is what we have to do. Because I've told you before, one of the themes of this show is so much of what they told us just isn't true. Just isn't true, folks. And so many things that we believe just is not true. Pastor Charles Jennings showed up from Oklahoma. Pastor Charles Jennings, I think, is the world's greatest expert, in my opinion, on genealogy, on white evangelical Protestantism, how it came, the fact, are you ready for this? That Jesus Christ himself maybe walked in Great Britain. Did you know that? Do we have any idea what happened from the time Jesus Christ was born as a baby in a manger to all of a sudden he shows up on the scene at the age of 30? We have any idea what he did and where he went and who he talked to? Any idea? No. Because if you want to study my life, you want to know more about me, well, you can study the last 3 years if you want to. But there's a whole lot more to me than what you know about in the last 3 years. So I'm not here in any way, shape, or form to undermine the Gospels or the Scriptures. But why are we so afraid to ask questions? Because if you ask questions, you get answers. And if you get answers, you find truth. Aren't we about truth? Aren't we on a, as Rush would say, a relentless pursuit of the truth? And we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned to go along to get along. We've been conditioned to believe things that aren't true. We've been conditioned from the time they put us in elementary school, we have been programmed and indoctrinated. Some indoctrination is good. Some programming is good. But we've lost control of the programming. And that's why I look around, 69 years old, and I saw in my son's eyes, our son Zach is the father of the baby. They're married. That sounded awful. He's the father of little Scarlet Rose. And I haven't seen Zach since his child was born. I'll see him today. And I saw the picture of Zach holding that baby and looking at that baby in the eyes. A father looking into the eyes of his progeny for the first time is a pretty humbling experience, right? This ain't a dog. This ain't a cat. What am I going to do with this? And to understand is, this is me now. In my mind, as I'm looking at my son holding that picture, I tell everybody, his life just changed. Because now, for 39 years, his life's been about him. And it ain't about him anymore. And you could see that when he looked into those eyes, that little baby, he knew it. There was an awakening, a realization that came over him. Oh, my God, this ain't a dog. This isn't a cat. This is a human being, and this is mine. And I'm responsible for it. Boy, how quickly we put our guard down, right? And we hand that precious thing over to somebody else, let them program them, let the TV program them, let schools program them. The importance of us to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he gets old, he won't depart from it. We need a reformation and a reclamation. We need a reclaiming of the values. And it can only happen as we begin to stand up and not talk about conservatism, but Christianity, Christian values, real active Christianity, a restoration, an excavation and a restoration, not an evacuation. That's what I'm here for. Gary Donahoe, I see him down there, Gary, wandering around down there. Have breakfast on for me up there, Gary. God bless you. Boy, nobody's had a good to see you, Gary. Thank God for Gary coming all that way. And say, Coach, you're rambling. I know I am. I know I'm rambling. Thank God for all the problems in Charles that they have, for they develop patience, patience, character, and character, hope. And hope doesn't disappoint. Tom Haviland. I don't know Tom Haviland. He jumped in on the show the other day. Tom Haviland, I got to became aware of Tom through our dear friend Betty, who sent me some pictures of Tom out on the street. And Tom has a story to tell that all of us need to hear. What really happened? That's the theme, right? What really happened? And Tom, come on in here, because you've been spending how many days? Many, many days, Tom. Tell us your story. Out on the streets, holding signs, trying to awaken America. Come on in, Tom.
Okay, Coach. Thanks for having me on the show. And by the way, thanks for being so wonderful on helping the people down there in Kentucky.
Just doing our job, brother.
Tornado damage. That was, I saw what happened. You showed yesterday. It was just awful damage. So
I
really appreciate that.
It's, folks, listen, hang on, Tom. Folks, what you see on the outside is only an example of what's going on the inside of them. You talk about destruction. Only those who can hold on to that rock. Only those, I'm telling you. Go ahead, Tom.
If you want to hear the long version of my story, you can go and take a look at Last Call Radio with BJ Edwards. I think you know BJ, Coach. He did an episode with me. We talked for about an hour and a half on one of his Saturday morning radio shows. He has a show from 10 till noon every Saturday Eastern time. It's Last Call Radio with BJ Edwards, and you can find it on YouTube or Rumble. Betty saw me on a corner just the other day over here in Beaver Creek, Ohio. I'm a retired Air Force major. I've spent 20 years in the Air Force, and then I've also spent 16 years as a defense contractor. So I've spent 36 years in and with the Air Force working for my country because I love my country. And I've never had any reason ever to protest anything until these vaccine mandates came out. As you know, Joe Biden, you know, is insisting that not only the military and the federal civilian workers, but also the government contractors be vaccinated as well. So I have been holding a sign that says no vax mandate in a very prominent intersection in Beaver Creek, Ohio, for 38 days now. I've done it. And I go out there about 6 hours a day. I try to catch the lunch crowd starting at 11 a.m. And then I finish up with the people going home at night at 5 o'clock. And I'm out there about the whole time in between as well.
Folks, this is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio.
That's right.
Largest military institutions in America.
Exactly. And the intersection I've been standing at is very large. It's got a Red Lobster and a Walmart and an Olive Garden, Lowe's, Best Buy. It's got, you know, four lanes going each way with two turn lanes. So I've seen probably in those 38 days, probably about 200,000 cars go by me. And out of every 100 cars that goes by me, I'd say about 80% of the people do nothing. They, you know, they don't care, or they're not interested, or they are maybe too afraid to speak out. About 2% or so will give me a middle finger or say F you, or, you know, get the shot. But a full 20% have cheered, honked their horns, give me a thumbs up. You know, they are against these mandates as well. They want to be able to make their own choices in life. That's been my message, right? If you want the shot, get the shot. But if you don't. It should be your personal decision. And I went out there originally, you know, I was scared the first couple of times I went out. I've never done protests before. But as I started going out there more and more and saw how many people were just so thrilled to see that somebody in public was, you know, also against the mandates, they didn't feel so isolated. And what was interesting is when people are stopped at the intersection waiting their turn to go at the light, when the first car starts honking, then that gives the next car courage to start honking as well. And yeah, after a while, you get, you know, 4, 5, 6 cars all of a sudden now honking at the corner, letting everybody know how they feel about these rotten mandates. So, you know, it's inspiring. I went out there really to encourage other people, but they wound up encouraging me.
But so, Tom, this led to the fact that you've lost your job as a result of this, right?
That's right.
To think that we can fight in a war without casualties, there's never been a war where there are zero casualties. This is going to happen to more of us. Talk a little bit about that, Tom.
Yeah, in the middle of October, a 3-star general in Air Force Base, he's the deputy commander of Air Force Materiel Command. So he's the second ranking officer on the entire base. And as Coach Dave said, Wright Pat is the largest single site employer in the state of Ohio. It has about 30,000 employees. He sent an email to the entire base, basically stating all the mandate dates that you had to have the shot by for the military, the federal civilians, and also the contractors. And at the end of his email, he insinuated that this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. It's a shame we've lost so many unvaccinated people. I was very offended by that. In fact, so offended. And also the fact that I had not seen any of our leaders, any of our colonels or generals speak out on behalf of those of us who don't want to get the shot, that I wrote a response to his email. I sent an email back to him, and I CC'd the entire Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. I can't tell you that all of the people got the email because they tried to quickly retrieve it after I sent it. But the first part of the email was encouraging the people like ourselves who did not want to get the shot. At the very end of the email, though, I put a PS there. I said to the Lieutenant General, and I'll name his name, Schaefer was his name. I said, shame on you. You failed us. Instead of standing up for our rights, for those of us who do not want to get the vaccine, you spent your time trying to shame us and guilt us into getting it. Shame on you. And a half hour later, I got a call from my employer that said that I had been fired from my $165,000 a year job. Wow. It wasn't a surprise. I knew it was going to happen because of the PS that I had written. But I just felt that somebody, as you said earlier, Coach, we're not just sheep following Jesus. We also have to be courageous sheep. We have to stand up for what's right, what is the truth. And I made my stand, and I knew what the consequences were going to be, but I made my stand because I believe in freedom over tyranny so much.
So you were you're not a member of the military, is that right, Tom? You were a subcontractor?
That's right. I'm an electrical engineer. I spent 20 years in the Air Force as an electrical engineer, retired as a major, and then went to work as a defense contractor for 16 years for 2 different companies, and working with the Air Force. The last program I was on, we were helping modify F-16 fighter jets for a couple of foreign countries, putting new electronics on board those. And I love my job. I love the work I did. I love the people I work with. But everybody was just all cowered into silence. You know, nobody was, they were all afraid to speak out because they knew if you speak out, you can get axed, right? You can get the hatchet. And that's what happened to me. But
I believe they call that bullying, don't they, Tom? Somewhere, if you were doing that to a fifth grader or a sixth grader, that would be bullying, would it not be?
I wasn't being the bullies. They're the bullies, right?
Joe. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And the tyrants, they're the bullies, right? Yeah, they're the ones bullying. Absolutely. And you got to stand up to bullies. You do. And it may have cost me my job, But right. You were talking earlier, the scripture you were reading about having that peace of mind. It was amazing, the peace of mind that fell over me, the calmness after I made that decision. You would think, well, wait a minute, my wife's in turmoil now. My wife's not a working spouse, so we have no income right now. Thank goodness we have some savings. I'm 61, and we've been able to save over the years. The house is paid off and on all that. I do have kids that are going to college, though, one that's in the middle of college, one that wants to start next year. But even through all that, I still had this tremendous peace of mind that settled over me because I knew that I was doing what God wanted me to do. We are on the right side.
I believe that's Romans 5. Can you pull that up there again, Spencer? Can you pull that up there? Paul said, if we have hope in this world only, we have all men most. Therefore, being justified by faith, Tom, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By whom also you have access by faith into his grace, wherein you stand, Tom. And you rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, Tom, but you glory in troubles. You glory in tribulations. Why? Because you know that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope doesn't make us ashamed. You're not ashamed you got fired. I tell people, man, hey, Tom, it's just a promotion. It looks like a firing in the eyes of the world, but it's a promotion. God's promotions don't look like the promotions in the world, right? And so God's going, see, here's what we have to know, Tom. I know you know this. I just know that you know this. That if God permitted it, he ain't going to leave you hanging, right? He's got something. There's something down the road bigger and better than what you just left. And the good thing is he knows he can trust you now. So are you kidding me? Tom believed it so much that he went out there and stood out there and held a sign and gave up his job. He believed that. So that's my boy. I'm a football coach, Tom. I find a place for a guy like you. That's what the Lord does too. So there's a player, man. That guy's all league. Let's right. So folks, again, if our hope's only in this world, it's all, if it's just climbing the ladder and putting stuff in your house and getting more and more stuff for a tornado to come through and blow it all away.
It's funny you mentioned that, Coach, because I've been calling prospective employers trying to find a new job. And the person I got in touch with at one of these companies, the HR person, understands exactly and feels exactly the same way we do about the mandates. So they were, you know, they were, when I mentioned to them, the first thing I do when I call these prospective employers is let them know that I'm somewhat radioactive, because I'm the guy that wrote the email, you know, to the 3-star general saying shame on you. So I don't want to surprise them with that and have them know what they're getting into as a company. And she says, you know what? I don't mind that at all. I feel exactly the same way you do.
Amen. That's right. We got to keep pushing. Rochelle, come on in.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your story this morning with us, Tom. This is very inspiring. I love to see people standing up for what they believe in. And you are making people think. And I always think it's amazing how people in turn get inspired. What they intend to do happens to them. And I just think that's great. We need more of you. And if I could hire you, I would. I would be looking for somebody who had the backbone that you do.
Well, thank you. You know, I don't feel really that special in a way, because as I told BJ when I was on his radio show, what I have done pales in comparison to what our founding fathers did, you know, pledging their lives to each other to fight for freedom for this country. You know, think about the boys storming the beaches of Normandy, 18-year-old kids going. Yep. So what I did, you know, it's nothing compared to what they did. They laid down their lives for freedom for this country. This is the least I can do to stand up to this tyrannical mandate, so these vaccine mandates.
But Tom, again, being an old football coach here, you don't win by playing defense. Defense keeps you in the game, folks. Defense keeps the other team from scoring. But if all you do is keep the other team from scoring, it ends up 0-0 tie. It goes into overtime. The only way you ever score in a football game is at some point you have to grab the ball and you have to extend it across the other team's goal line. We have got to stop just playing prevent defense. That's where we are. Now, that leads me into something that some people are going to think controversial. I don't care. Hey, Spence, pull up that uh, the video from Surge talks about our only solution, the only solution. Folks, this is about 6 minutes and 40 seconds, but I think it's worth watching. This is from Friar Alexis Bugnolo. He explains the only solution and that the time to act is now. Tom could have just gone along to get along, still get his $165,000 salary and a couple more years and cruise out and retire. He could have done that. But we are right now at the beaches of Normandy. And some of us are going to have to step out, and we're going to have to do stuff that is extremely uncomfortable to us. Reggie, did you want to comment before the video, or do you want to wait? Go ahead and come on in if you want to.
Thanks, Coach. Hey, Tom, my husband and I saw you out at Wright Pat. My husband's 26 years Air Force, and he's now looking to retire. He's not looking to retire. They're saying he needs to retire because he stood up as well. So we've been gathering some military people, and we're going to fight back, but we'd love to hook up with you. I remember we were going to eat. So I commend you because we said, hey, look at him. We need to go stand with him. So thank you for your courageousness, because most of them caved.
And then most of them caved. Yep, most of them caved. Betty, quickly.
Yes, very quickly. Yeah, I saw him every day I went to the hotel, and I just cranked on that horn. And then my son was driving, and they did the same thing. He was an inspiration. We need more like him. And I just thought we need to stop and get him on the show so people can hear. Thank you for coming, Tom.
Thank God for leaders, but we need followers too, don't we, folks? So Friar Alexis Bugnolo, it's hard to argue with. Go ahead and play that, Spence.
Watching videos, reading articles, learning, maybe we go to some protests and tell the government that we don't like what they're doing. Please stop. We probably still sometimes wear the mask, but we're not doing anything to stop it. Now, when there is a criminal conspiracy active, ongoing, that's killing hundreds of thousands of people, you don't go, please stop. It's not going to stop it. And this is why it's going ahead. And people say, there's several groups, we'll never win, they're too great. We'll totally win, we are right. But none of these groups are doing anything to stop it. You're not going to stop this by writing letters to your politicians. They're all bought. You're not going to start this by going to a town hall meeting and telling them to stop. Maybe in some small towns that might work, but in the big cities, not. They're all bought. It's not going to happen by legislation. Do you think the globalists haven't bought all the legislatures of the world and all the politicians? They would never have been pulling this off if they hadn't. Journalists aren't going to listen to you. They're all bought. Judges certainly aren't going to listen to you. They're all bought. If not at the lower levels, at the highest levels. The globalists would have never launched this unless they already controlled all these things. We are being given a lot of false hope by these little occasions in which someone intervenes and stops something for a time, or this certain death vax is removed and not others. So it's absolutely essential that we organize a true opposition. And I don't mean a political movement. I don't mean any kind of movement. I mean, we oppose the criminal conspiracy. And how do you stop a criminal conspiracy that's ongoing? There's only one way. You arrest the criminals. Okay? I said this in November of 2020. And people thought it was great. I said it, and I got a lot of claps from it. But no one did anything, and still no one's doing anything. So stop with, I have to found a new political movement, a new political party. We have to organize the opposition. We need a protest to do this and that. That's all useless. There's only one way to stop this, and it's to arrest the criminals. And it's not going to happen by everyone deciding nationwide to arrest the criminals. You got to start arresting them locally. And then you have to spread the arrests, and you have to keep going until you arrest them all. And if everyone's bought, you got to arrest them all. You either have to arrest them for being actively complicit in the genocide of the citizens of your nation, or you have to arrest them on the suspicion of being actively complicit or passively or intermediary somehow or collaborating with a conspiracy to genocide the nation. That's the accusation. This is an accusation made on natural law. If you don't have any laws in your national constitution, your state constitutions, your provincial constitutions, your county or town constitution to authorize citizens' arrest, you don't need it. It's by natural law, which is the right of self-defense. And a government exists to defend the honest people, not to exterminate the citizenry. As soon as they start acting to exterminate the citizenry or gravely injure, kill, maim, or sterilize vast parts of the population, natural law prevails. All human laws take a step back, and the natural right of defense gives every citizen to the right to arrest these people. You would have the right even to kill them, but you don't need to go that far. Arrest is sufficient. You arrest them all, and you charge them all. You don't have to hang them, try them, or anything. You arrest them all and try them all. Once they're all arrested and your government's all in prison, then you hold new elections and let the new government decide what to do with them. This is the democratic, peaceful way of doing it. So since that's the only solution, you're wasting all your time, now that you know what the problem is, doing anything else, even going to work, okay? And now, of course, some people need to work to support themselves, but you're all going to be dead unless you arrest these people. Your children are going to be dead, your parents are going to be dead, and you're going to be dead. So why sit around wait and think, I need a plan to flee, I need enough guns to defend myself at the house? Why are you waiting for the threat to come to you? You need to take justice to them. You need to hunt the hunters, okay? And so all you need to do is get the people who have been red-pilled and are awake in your town. Organize a meeting, get together, and lay out a plan for arresting the mayor, the chief of police, all the police, the judges, everyone in town who's doing the vaccine, the doctors. Arrest them all and put them in the town or county jail. And then when you're done liberating your town, hold an election and elect new leaders that are against it. Raise a militia and go arrest the people in the adjacent towns and spread the liberty. This is the simple, easy, and only solution. And it's not going to stop any other way, because the globalists can't buy everyone in town. And everyone right now wants to be liberated from this thing. So the people are going to back you. And the media can't follow what's going on in every town. So this is the weak underbelly of the Great Reset. And if you don't start doing it, you'll be dead. So wake up and start really opposing the Great Reset and organize the arrest of everyone involved in your town. That's the way to go about it. That's the only way to go about it.
See, that's drastic stuff, isn't it? That's drastic stuff. But as I've often said, and I'm sorry if my phone's going off here all the time. Let me turn that. The solution's easy. It's easy. It's hard, right? It's hard to do it. Who's going to go do that? Janine, come on in, then JR, then Paul. Go ahead.
Watching that, I hope other people saw it. He was pushing natural law. It sounds great, and I'm saying if that we're up on the surface, it sounds great, but natural law comes under the Pope. He's the head of everything. We better start looking at why he kept saying natural law. I know, Reggie, you're shaking your head no, but it you better watch out for that. Everything he's saying sounds great, but let's do some research on what he means by natural law. It's not what we think natural law is.
I would agree with you, Janine. However, I'm not sure that impacts local, right? Folks, here's the thing. We got to do something. We have to do something. That's the point that he's making. Now, whether or not the friar is trying to lead us under the control of the Vatican, that's a different debate. That's a different story.
I agree. It sounds great to do something, and we should start out local, but again, let's be really careful, because that natural law is going to lead into something else.
JR.
The Pope doesn't necessarily have the authority to say what natural law is. I know what she's talking about, but natural law is totally different than what the Pope is trying to say. The devil's in the detail here, Coach.
Yep.
How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? And yes, it should be at the local level. It should be at the local level. But who's going to do the arresting? Your sheriff isn't. Your local police aren't. And if you try to arrest somebody, they'll arrest you. So you have to build this up. Saturday on our show, we're going to have Matt Truella. We're going to talk about the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. And we're going to get to the point where we're going to recognize that our only hope here is to get the local establishments, the local servants, to do what they should do, pass laws. But then you've got to go to the sheriff. Now, if the sheriff doesn't do it, and here's the devil in the detail, what's the next step? Who do we get to do the arresting? Where do they house them?
Well, that's the book of Acts, isn't it? Isn't that really the book of Acts? Isn't that really what we saw happen in the book of Acts? The men in particular stood up against oppressive government.
Yep. But
they didn't have the sheriff on their side. They didn't have the school board on their side. They stood up against oppressive government. A lot of them died. A lot of them went to jail. That's what I said. If we think we're gonna win this battle without some sacrifice, boys and girls, that ain't the way it works. Good thoughts, JR. Paul, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, the question I have, and I know some people are questioning who's saying it and why saying it, but, you know, Bishop Vigano is another Catholic leader that's been speaking out against this as well, way before all the pandemic started. And the question I ask is, why are these people speaking out, but we've got evangelical fish pansies in the pulpit that won't say anything or tell you to go get the shot? I mean, you know.
If just take one denomination, if one denomination of Christianity, word came down from the Southern Baptist Convention that their pastors were to stand and oppose the vaccines, this thing would be over in a week. But they won't, because the pulpits are weak. That's why we can't get them to do it, right? And it's not, they can say all they want to about obeying the Lord and we're to obey the government. No. It's cowardice, folks. It's cowardice. And they hide behind the scriptures to hide their cowardice. That's what I believe. What do you think, Reggie?
I agree. Dennis and I have talked about this so much. We're like, you know, I'll go to natural law in a minute, but we have racked our brains thinking, what are the steps that we need to take to form a militia, a real militia, not this pansy ass militia crap. A real militia. So, JR, I agree with you. It's like we have to coordinate where we have to take the steps to try. You know, it's like chain of command. Let's go talk to our sheriff. If he's not in, we know what list he's on. Da, 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 da. We break that down. Going back to natural law, it isn't under the Pope. Okay, natural law is that which falls on God's creation. So, being a former Catholic, being a Catholic, I studied under many priests. It has nothing to do with the Pope. Yeah, the Pope may try to usurp that authority, but I can tell you Vigano and brother know exactly who these popes are and what they have been. So that's not the law they're talking about. They're talking about the God-given rights by God for survival and for our life and for his...
Reggie, the question, folks, the question and everything about it is, should good men stand by and watch others be murdered? That's really what we're talking about,
exactly.
Isn't it?
And
folks, isn't that really where we are?
Yep.
We know that hospitals, remdesivir, we can run down the list. We know these things are killing our fellow Americans. What should be our response? When you get it down to the nub, that's it. For you to know to do good and not to do it to you, it is sin. Are we in sin? Is our silence sin? Is our lack of organizing? See, at the root of all of it, we love ourselves too much. Hey, friends, spend a couple days down in Mayfield, Kentucky. And look around, see what it means to lose everything. Just look at it. We're not really willing to go there. And we're willing to go there maybe if it's a tornado. But we're not really willing to go there if it means standing up publicly and pushing back against government that is tyrannical, and by the way, is leading to the death of thousands, if not millions, of our fellow citizens. This is where it is. Nobody wants to go. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go. I just had another grandbaby. Why the heck do I want to? I don't want to lay. I'll let Reggie lay her life on the line. I'll let Trent lay his. Why would I do that? Why the heck would I do that? Well, you know, the Bible says so. Romans 13. You got to obey those guys. Really, really. Come on, Leslie.
Good morning. I spoke to our sheriff and asked him about a militia, and he said he had to check that out and came back to me later and said that it would be a liability. It would create a liability in the county. Okay. Well, I asked him, I said, what about citizens' arrest? Because months ago, this song rose up in me, and I was praying in the spirit, and a song was just weird. And then all of a sudden, I just began saying, citizens arrest, you broke your oath. And yeah. I think there is power in that. So we need to get back to our rights and what we have as far as citizens arrest, and we need to find out what we can do.
So you do not... Folks, you don't coddle criminals by telling them they're breaking the law. You arrest them, which exactly was the point the friar made, right? How do you go reason with tyrants? Now, some of these folks are not necessarily evil tyrants. They're government tyrants. They think government is king. They think government is boss. They think they're doing the right thing, but they're tyrants nonetheless. Folks, they cannot even ask you a question as to whether you've been vaccinated or not. They don't even have the right to do that. Do you understand it? You understand it? Well, you'll run into some pastor that'll tell you to fall in line and follow Romans 13. They're violating the law. The government is lawless. The government is lawless. What are we going to do? Trent, then Bernie.
We've talked about in the past, you know, where is that leader? How is that leader going to come about? Well, we all jumped on the Trump train because he was going to arrest these people. So there's our answer. You know, how's that leader going to come about? Well, if they form a group, if they really stand tall and say, hey, we are here to arrest these people, then we have a leader. And I believe that.
And it's looking more and more. I hate to tell you this. It's looking more and more like it did in Donald Trump, in my opinion. Bernie, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, thanks. One thing I wanted to say is that we all need to sanctify ourselves for the Lord's use. I mean, make sure we're all clean and ready to march, because this is holy work. It's not going to be happening if we don't make sure that we're all clean.
But, Bernie, it's coming to our door, whether we want to believe it or not.
Listen, I know that, and I know that he's going to deliver us, but I also know that he means business because he wants to put an end to sin. So just, you know, it's something we need to ask ourselves a question and be committed to this, whatever happens.
And it isn't funny, as I sit here, we're doing this show, I wonder if the FBI is listening. They're the other team. Do you understand that, friends? Okay. Do you understand they've become the other team?
I mean, gee whiz, these guys are, oh gosh, I got to tell you, I remember hearing the governor of Missouri come to speak when it was Bob Holden, and they introduce him as His Excellency the Governor. I'm like, yeah. His Excellency? Serious? We use that termination in America? I don't think so.
Nope.
Excellency?
Nope. Like public servants, and not excellent. Thank Bernie.
Oh my goodness. Okay, well, I'll let somebody else go. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, well, let's try to run down here real quickly. Jerry, is that Jerry? We'll be getting light for truth.
Yeah, true. Good morning. I just wanted to say, you know, it's gonna take a lot. It's gonna be a long, hard road to get to where we need to go. Like the forefathers that decided to give up their lives to do what they needed to do. Thankfully, not all of them needed to give up their lives, but the first one that did was Jesus Christ for all of us. And what is? How long has the war been going on in the Middle East? Hundreds of years. Why? Because those people that are fighting, given up their lives unto death for the cause that they're fighting for. And that's what it's going to take, unfortunately, to get back the liberty where Jesus stands.
That's right, because the cause is greater than our individual freedom, folks.
Yes.
The cause is greater than our individual lives.
We have the action that needs to get done.
If you have hope in this world only, you are of all men most miserable. If there's Amen. Not something you will die for, you are a miserable wretch. That's what I believe Paul's saying. Come on in, Joe, and then Naomi, quickly.
Yeah, we'll probably need to read what happened in the 15th, 16th century. Bring the guillotine back.
Yeah. We've got to get a rest first. Naomi, then Randy.
There's a really good video called Monumental with Kirk Cameron that really speaks about all of what we're talking about today. And it would be very much worth everybody seeing it. We saw it last night and it is inspiring.
Thank you. Randy.
Yeah, that's an awesome, Monumental is an awesome movie. Coach, look, if we're really dead, if we're really serving Christ and we're already dead, we should already be dead. And if we're not, we're just fooling ourselves. But Coach, here, if everyone needs to read Matt Truella's book, there is a proper way to do this. And you use every channel you have before you give your blood. You know, and that doesn't mean you haven't laid your life down. I mean, but we're in the process of trying to do the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. We're actually doing that, you know, Coach.
Randy, they're the lawbreakers, not us.
Yes. And, Coach, if we'll go about it, God has an order. I mean, he may ask us to be a martyr in the end, you know, and if we should, we should say, I obey God rather than men. We should already be at that point. But we have to stay with his order. If it's not his timing to shed blood, then we don't want to jump out there and be ahead of the game and mess up the plan of God. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit's speaking. And if he tells you to go arrest someone and it's time, you need to do that. But you can't put that on everyone else and expect them to do what you think is right. So everyone has to be people of principle first, and you have to stand, and if you're willing to stand, God can use you. If you're just, we're going to talk about it and do nothing, then just you get out of everybody's way. But look, we're in that time, but be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Just that's my point.
Amen. Roger.
Oh, I don't know where this fits in the conversation this morning. Two things. If you do a self-arrest, you better be really sure you're on good legal grounds or you're going to have a kidnapping charge. But you had made a comment about liability, and I think one of the biggest problems we are faced with is when behind closed doors, the school boards and the city councils and the prosecutors, Dave, everything that is raised is insurance and liability and lawsuits. That's how everything is killed.
Yep.
If the citizens would stand up and say, we know we're going to get sued. We don't care. That's why we have insurance. But most of the stuff is blocked because of behind the doors concerns of getting sued.
Yes, well, hang the lawyers. That's what you're saying, Roger.
Well, I'm a lawyer, and it bothers me tremendously that that's the position. And you've talked about that over the years. That.
Yep.
Everybody talks about, well, they're going to sue us and it's going to cost us money. And that's where a lot of the revolt gets stopped. It's not always, it's the insurance people saying, well, it's, you know, you might not get coverage next year if you take on this battle.
Right.
It's very fluid out there. That's what's killing a lot of the citizen revolt behind the closed doors.
Mercy follows judgment, folks. We need some judgment in this country. Then we can extend mercy. Myra.
Good morning, saints. How you doing? I want to give praise and glory to the Lord Jesus for the birth of Scarlet Rose Dobbenmeyer.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's the first one with a Dobbenmeyer name, by the way. So that's good. Maybe she'll be a nun. She'll keep that name her whole life. Just kidding. Bless you. Thanks, Myra. Rochelle, Don, quickly. Michelle, then Don.
Thanks, Coach. Just real quick, I wanted to say, I can hear sometimes in Randy's voice, he's like, come on, people, just get with it. Let's go. And we drag our feet. And I would encourage anyone who thinks that the Bible doesn't leave room for us to win in the end, for real, and on this physical realm, take a look at the 10 weeks of Enoch. We're in the 8th week. We are given sevenfold instruction, and they're handed over to us. We get to rule this place. So come on and get on board, and we can make a difference.
Let's do it. Don, close us out, Don.
It's just all of your towns that are incorporated are part of a corporation, and that's how they deal.
That's how they do it. Love not your own life.
Keep that in mind when we fight.
Love not your own life, even to the point of death. Hey, not trying to be radical, but hey, radical times mean radical efforts, doesn't it? Lord, show us what to do. Bless you. See you tomorrow.